hear my father on the radio singing, take me home again. 300 miles from the Carolina coast, and I'm skinning bones again. Sometimes I wish that I could get away. Sometimes I wish that he'd just call. Am I that lonely tonight? I don't know.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another one.
There's just something.
Well, driving. Like just went and saw a motion picture with some friends. The Expendables 2. More expendabler than ever. I don't know. Do I do movie reviews? Is that a thing? I'll just do a brief synopsis here or something. So I don't know. I guess there's spoilers. I mean, what's the spoiler of Expendables 2? I don't know. I don't know that there's going to be a plot spoiler here. My favorite. I guess what I love is just like, you know. I don't know. Like, I'm roaring in these Jeeps, and it's got stenciled in on the side. It just says, bad attitude, you know, and a bunch of shit like that, which I'm like, really? Somebody, I don't know if it was Jason Statham. That seems unlikely. Perhaps Randy the Natural Couture is taking time out of his schedule, Ultimate Fighting, to stencil something like bad attitude on the side of a Jeep. It just seemed like a sort of, I don't know, very minor thing. Like, they're gunning people down and shooting rocket launchers left and right, and it's like, also, we have a bad attitude. Not even, like, murderous rage or homicidal mania. It's just bad attitude. In general, I'd say these guys got a bad attitude. Real bad seeds, these ones. I wouldn't put them high on my list of people to hang out with. So let's see if I can do this. All right, of course you've got Stallone, who his face is just like a porcelain doll but greasier at this point. I mean, it's destroyed. Dolph Lundgren, who they jokingly called Frankenstein, but literally, I mean, he looks like Frankenstein with straw inside of him that, you know, comes out the top of his head as hair. He looks pretty crazy. You've got Terry Crews, you know, the most in-shape man of all time, who also, I don't know, I mean, I don't really know what he's doing in these movies. I don't know what his normal role is in films. But whatever, man. You got Randy, the Natural Couture, which, here's what I like about him being in the movie, or Jet Li, is they have to find a way for them to fight hand-to-hand combat, you know, because they're shooting guns and rockets and stuff. But, I mean, if you have Randy, the Natural Couture, what is he going to do if he's not punching somebody or, you know, hitting them with an elbow or something like that? That's what you want to see. So it's kind of a waste if you, you know, do anything else. You've got, Jason Statham, who's kind of the sore thumb sticking out. Why is that? Sticking out like a sore thumb. I don't understand what that even... It's like your thumb, you're sticking it out to hitchhike, and it's so sore because you've just been holding it out so long. Oh, this is going to be a tough one, you guys. So you've got him in there, which doesn't make too much sense because he still seems like a young, vibrant star. I mean, he's not, you know, a hot young man or something, but he's, I think, doing fine. He's certainly at the level Stallone was at when Stallone was making, you know, I don't know, First Blood Part 2 or something like that. He's certainly not washed up, I wouldn't think. He doesn't seem like a joke to me. I don't know. Then you've got Jet Li, who mysteriously disappears partway through the movie. I mean, he's sort of there, and then he's just sort of gone. And, you know, they leave the door open, like he's maybe coming back. You know, they're like, oh, we'll see you again soon, right, buddy? And he's like, oh, we'll see. And you're like, all right, well, he's going to be in the next scene. And then he's just gone the rest of the fucking movie. Who else you got? That might be the main expendable crew. You know, you've got some Asian lady, of course, who is just there for no apparent reason. I guess she's representing the interests of Bruce Willis somehow. He's like, you got to take my girl along. And Stallone's like, I don't babysit. And he's like, she can take care of herself. And he's like, all right. And of course, you know, she's like, one of the best fighters of all time. We got Bruce Willis in there, who seems to be maintaining okay. I don't know. He's aged fine. His head's starting to look like an egg. And you've got, you know, the other oldster, Schwarzenegger, who looks like shit. And who, I believe, his acting has gotten worse since his, you know, he's left the stage and returned. I mean, he was terrible. He had some pretty cheesy throwaway lines, and he was pretty terrible. Oh! Speaking of terrible, my God, we had Chuck Norris, you know, show up in there. Which I don't know when it got decided that he was such a, like a, you know, I know there's all this internet bullshit about him being a badass and everything, which is, you know, ha 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 ha. But, I mean, I don't really remember him being an action movie star, per se. I remember him being in a couple films, you know, but he didn't seem to be, he wasn't, like, flying around shooting guns a lot that I remember. And none of his movies were in my big rotation. I think he's in, like, Delta Force or something like that. And he did Walker, Texas Ranger forever, which was, you know, the stupidest. Like a cowboy karate guy. It's like Kung Fu meets Magnum P.I. or something. I don't even know what that show was supposed to be. Anyway, he may be the worst actor of all time. You know, and he's completely unnecessary. He didn't do any martial arts in the movie. He just kind of appears and then disappears and then reappears. Also, his beard grows, I think, onto his lips. I mean, it's so close to his fucking lips, it's unreal. Ah, and you've got Van Damme. Van Damme, who is not bad. I mean, okay. Here's the one thing. So in the movie, you know, they had to find this uranium in a mine for some reason. And so for some reason, they have to sort of enslave a bunch of villagers to work in the mine for them. I mean, this has to be, I feel like, I don't know, 30% of these action movies where they have to free a population of people, it's, people in a mine. Every bad guy, if a bad guy comes to your village to take you, and he's probably going to work you to death in a mine. You know, then there's a bad guy who I like to refer to as evil Middle Eastern Ryan Reynolds, who, you know, there's like an old, this old man come out of the mine, and he's like laying on the floor gasping, and some guys are trying to help him. And he's like, oh, you know, because he's all worn out from mining, I guess. I don't know. He's got some kind of mind disease, maybe. And evil Ryan Reynolds comes and kind of looks at him. And the other minor peasant people are like, oh, he's just exhausted. You know, he's just too tired to continue. And he's like, oh, is he too tired? And then just shot him. And you're like, I don't think that's necessary. I think that guy was dying of his own accord just fine. He seemed to be in distress, if nothing else. I mean, he was not feeling well at that point. I don't know why you needed to. You didn't. I mean, what's the lesson there? Oh, if you get tired enough that you're going to die, then I'll shoot you, you know, and keep from prolonging your misery? That's not really a big sell, is it? I don't know. I mean, I don't know what bad guys. I don't know why bad guys have to be so bad. You know, and then all the people are in the mine, and they get the uranium out, the bad guys, and then so Van Damme is like, oh, make sure you blow up the mine with all the peasants in there, you know? They always do that, too. They're like, we gotta kill all these guys. And you're like, really? Why? What are they gonna do? I mean, they worked in the mine for a year, almost to death. They all look like skeletons. They all look exactly like, you know, movie Holocaust victims. Like, if you were shooting a movie about the Holocaust and you were around on the same set where they are shooting Expendables 2, you could probably use the same extras twice in one day. You'd be like, okay, Eastern European miners over this way. And cut. And now Holocaust victims, come on over this way. You know, they're wearing bizarre hats and weird shirts that look like just tightened net material. They're not like a new fab. They're not fabrics of some kind. They're just string. I guess like a knitted thing, but, you know, much less comfortable, like nylon rope or something. Because, you know, they wouldn't let them have comfort. Anyway, I don't know. See it. I mean, if you want to see it, see it. I did realize after we left that there's this whole unresolved thing. So Jason Statham has a girlfriend, you know, and Stallone's like, she looks like a cheater and she's real flirty and stuff. And, you know, she keeps calling him throughout the movie. And his phone, for some reason... Now, these are guys like Stallone, all right? He's got, like, a knife, and it's got a skull on it, and his belt buckle is a skull, and he's got a pen that's got skulls adorning it. And, you know, these are the kind of guys he's hanging out with. They ride motorcycles and all this shit. And Statham, his phone is set to a duck quack, is the ring, you know? And he picks up and talks to her. So anyway, you know, this happens a couple times. He picks up the phone. He's talking to her in these woods and all this stuff. But then it just does, it sort of drops away. And I was thinking, fuck. Maybe after the credits there was a thing, you know, where it's like, oh, Jet Li was missing the whole movie. And this didn't get resolved. So maybe it cuts to Jet Li making out with his girlfriend or something. Maybe that's where he's been this whole time. While they're freeing the Temple of Doom kids from the mine or whatever they're doing. So yeah, I guess that's my Expendables 2 thing. My Expendables 2 chunk that we're going to do today. It's probably plenty, right? For that film. I went to went some adventures this week. I went to a new gym this week. The place where I go, they're renovating or something, I don't know. They're just closed for a week, which is kind of inconvenient. And you don't want to be an asshole about it, but you do sort of want to be like, do I get like a week's extension on this membership or something? Because come on, man, I didn't get anything for whatever. But yeah, so the new one is downtown at the recreation center, you know, where they have great performances like... you know, they've got... It was a very heavy Elvis impersonator night. Because there's this guy in town who is an Elvis impersonator, right? I mean, that's kind of what he does. And I don't know how much of his life revolves around this. But he actually... He worked at the gym I went to years ago. And I would notice because he was wearing, like, a polo like everyone else who worked there. And, you know, khaki pants or whatever. But he had this bizarre hair. You know, this sort of helmet of hair that clearly took a lot of work and effort and maintenance to keep it going. And it just, it did not make any sense until I found out that he was an Elvis impersonator. At which point as I was like, oh, right. Well, I guess so. I don't know. I mean, what do you need to be an Elvis impersonator? He doesn't really look like Elvis that much. I mean, I don't know. Maybe if Elvis had lived to be a little... He's kind of older, this guy. You know. And I don't really know either how much it takes to sing like Elvis. I mean, it seems like it's not that hard. I start feeling like maybe mostly what you need to be an Elvis impersonator is guts. Basically, the guts to say, I'm going to do this for life as a living. Be Elvis constantly. So, you know, you go to the downtown civic center and it's like, oh yeah, come spend Christmas Eve with Elvis, and you're like, yeah, I don't think I'll be doing that, but thank you, that's a kind offer. Or, you know, they've got Mannheim Steamroller or any number of terrible options for entertainment. And I put that in heavy quotation marks when I say entertainment. Hang on, I gotta turn on my defroster here. We've got some fog. Rain. coming down. Why is it every time I'm doing these goddamn in the car things, it starts raining? It doesn't rain all summer, and then, you know, I'm trying to record sounds coming out of me, and it's like, ah, the rain. This is a good time for the rain. If you like talking to podcasts, getting caught in the rain at the same time. So you go in the front door of this new place, you know, and I don't know what I'm doing. And the lady's like, okay, well, here's what you need to do. You got your membership, so you're all set, because the place I go in the downtown are connected, apparently. And then she's like, do you have your ID with you? And I was like, no. Do I have to be... How old do I have to be to use this gym? And she's like, well, you have to get a key card and go downstairs. You know, and the whole thing felt like a... when you go to a hotel and they have, like, a rec center. Or they're, like, fully equipped weight room. And fully equipped means, well, we've got a set of dumbbells that doesn't seem right somehow. I can't fully explain how a dumbbell could really fail you. Because, I mean, it's just cement poured into a... Or metal poured into a shape. And they're different sizes. But somehow they're wrong. I promise you, there's something wrong with the grips on them, or they feel like they're going to crack in half somehow. I don't know. So that's wrong. We have a rack on it that's got bolts loose, you know, so you put something down, it's just wobbling all over the place. So somehow our benches are not quite right. It's like they got all of their gym equipment from some kind of irregular gym equipment warehouse where they keep all this shit. And then sell it to hotels and this other rec-centered place. So, you know, I go in and it's all right. Here's the thing. Like, I've done this many times. I don't know. In the last 10 years, I've maybe gone 5 different places or something like that. So I've been to a number. And, you know, that's 5 that I've gone to with regularity. In between there's been, I'm sure, a dozen of these gym-type hotels and whatnot. And what's weird is when you go to a gym that you're not familiar with, there's always a sort of adjustment period. Like, I always kind of feel like, what am I doing? Where am I going? What is this thing? There's always at least one thing where I look at it and go, I don't even know what the fuck that's for. I'm not sure how you sit on it. I'm not sure what it's meant to do. I'm not sure whether it's effective. I feel like there's probably a study out there that specifically warning against this particular piece of equipment, but I don't know. I mean, what am I going to do? Take a picture of it and ask a doctor or something? You know, and they have really old posters up of all, you know, oh, this is how you exercise your pectoral muscles and all that shit. So it's got, you know, but you just kind of wander around in this fog this whole time, not knowing. This gym also had this weird thing that some of them do where, you know, you can use the free weights or the circuit machines. But instead of the circuit machine saying how much weight is on, you know, you put this little key in and that's how you adjust the weights. Or a pin, I guess you would call it. But instead of telling you, like, ah, each plate is 15 pounds, let's say, and so when you adjust it, it goes up 15 pounds, it just had numbers from, like, 1 to 16, which is an odd choice, I thought. And then also, why couldn't you just tell me how much weight a thing is? I mean, why does it need to be, well, we don't want, you know, we don't want someone to say, I'm sure I can lift 250, and then they hurt themselves. But if we just have 16, you know, it's arbitrary and they won't care. I guess there's some logic to that. I don't know. I mean, those kind of people should probably just stop worrying about it. I don't think we should be trying to... That's a personal battle, right? We don't need to fight everyone else's personal battles for them all the time. But yeah, I mean, I hate it there. It's horrible. It's, you know, you gotta get used to a new place, and that's never fun. And I'm just gonna go back to my old place, like, on Sunday. So it seems like a pretty fruitless thing to go to this other gymnasium and all that stuff. Saw, you know, some of my normal weirdos there too. That was a nice pick me up. that I you know, I gotta say, really helped it feel like home, even if it wasn't quite as at home as I wanted to be. I did get I put out a thing for questions to see if anyone had anything that they wanted me to cover in particular. And I did get a response. I don't know if I can... That was, yeah, the sound of me going off the road there onto the little bumper. Basically, I got a thing via Facebook that was a... I don't know if it was a question so much as a call for advice. I'm going to see if I can pull it up, but I don't know. That seems dangerous, doesn't it? Oh, man. This is a terrible idea. In the rain. Here we go. Just hold this here and this here. Simply grip the steering wheel with my pinky finger, as I am wont to do. Ah. Oh, there's a new one popped on there. That's good. That's safer. All right, so we got this. This is from Katie. Hello, Katie. Thanks for asking some stuff. Let's see, here we go. As it's 2:30 and I can't sleep, I wonder if you have personal experience or remedies for, 1, insomnia, generally, and 2, bee stings. Other topics of interest to me include creative ways to seek revenge by eradicating the bee population for messing with the wrong person, and an unrelated topic... I'm not going to read this whole thing, but basically is like, why didn't I bring their dog Watson a pair like I was planning to, which I was planning to. Okay, well, let's start with, you know, so we had cures for insomnia and also bee stings. I hope those aren't related, because that would be really unfortunate. I mean, are bees torturing you in the night? Because if that's what's happening, I don't know if there's a remedy for that so much as... You may be living in some kind of a portal to hell or something like that if your bees are, you know, infesting. I saw this show. It wasn't a show. I saw this news article. I saw a thing on the news. It was about this lady who had a bee-infested home. You know, and they had a guy come out. And they were like, yeah, we called the city and they said that's not their problem. We called the fire department, and they said that's not their problem, which I was like, yeah, no fucking shit. Why would bee-infested house be a fire department thing? I feel like people... On the one hand, I do feel like the fire department is sort of like... should branch out a little bit. I think they could be doing more than just fighting fires. Not that that's not important, but it doesn't probably come up that much in your average municipality, right? Fire... I mean, how many fires have you been in? How many people have you known who've been in a fire? I don't know. Doesn't seem that likely. So maybe they should have. I mean, a fire suit is probably not too far off from a bee suit, right? In terms of coverage and all that. You'd even have an oxygen supply. So really a firefighter covered in bees, and then you could just hit them with the hose. Or a fire extinguisher. I feel like a fire extinguisher would kill a bee hive. So anyway, this lady, you know, was dismayed because the fire department couldn't help her. And so, you know, she called animal control, and I guess they didn't help either, which, you know, that's borderline as well. Because I'm like, I don't know if I count bees as an animal. I mean, it's like a bug, right? Is a bug an animal? I don't fucking know. So finally... She just, you know, was like, all right, I guess I'll call an exterminator myself. Which I was like, yeah, I mean, your house is swarmed with bees. It's more bees than house at this point. So maybe that's what she was afraid of, that taking the bees out would damage the structural integrity of her home. Which was a legitimate concern in this case, I'd say. So then they show footage of this guy, and he's knocking down the wall, and it's just full of bees. Bees just tumbling out onto the floor. You know, he's taking out gigantic honeycombs. They show just this guy eating a honeycomb, too. And he's like, that's good honey. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? But You know, and they were like, they also found that bees had infested her son's room. And the guy takes a big piece of the ceiling off, it falls down, and it's just covered in bees. I mean, the whole house was bees. What I'm saying is, I mean, if you have a bee even in your house, one bee, he needs to be destroyed or set outside. I mean, I guess it depends on what your personal insect policies are, but you should treat a bee basically like a spider, I'd say. I don't know how it got in your house. I mean, it shouldn't be in there, right? There's nothing for a bee in there. So, okay, cures for insomnia. I mean, not really. I don't really know what cures insomnia. I don't know. I wouldn't say that I have insomnia. I just, you know, I don't know. I just want to do things. And nighttime is the right time sometimes. You get excited. You got the free time. You just want to do it. So yeah, I don't know. I got nothing. I mean, sometimes when I'm really tired, what do? Before I fall asleep. Sometimes I'll eat a bunch of food, and that sort of incapacitates me to a point where I just want to lay down on my back until I pass out. And then when I sleep on my back, you know, I wake myself up if I start snoring, which I do if I sleep on my back. So I sleep on my back until I wake myself up snoring, at which point I'm usually digested enough to roll onto my side into the recovery position, I guess. So that's an option. Sometimes I'll go for a really super long jog. Basically anything that incapacitates you physically to where it's almost unpleasant to do anything but lay down is my normal tactic, is what I'm learning here. It's like, I go for too long of a jog, and then I'm too tired to do anything else, or I eat too much food until I'm too full to move without feeling nauseated, or, you know, the one time, like I was saying before, I got a pretty bad concussion. That made me sleepy as fuck. Really, anything, any way you can damage your body permanently, besides anything that's an upper drug or, you know, a caffeine or something like that, but any other way that could damage your body is a good way to go, is for me anyway. Seems that physical tolls placed on the body really put you to a nice sleep state there. I don't know if that's a good idea. I mean, I consider myself a friend of yours, so I don't know if I want to offer that as advice. Do I have any remedies for bee stings? Well, you got to get that stinger out. Swipe it away with a credit card. That's what you want to do. Get that fucker out. You know, I guess the bee can still continue injecting poison or something like that. Sort of like sometimes how you pee and then a little bit leaks out after. And you're like, God damn it. Wearing these khaki pants, I look like a fool. Look like I peed myself, which I sort of did, but not. It was very much an accident. So get that stinger out. Then you want to make sure the bee dies, absolutely, because I don't know. I don't really know if, you know, they always say, like, oh, when a bee stings you, you know, then it pulls out the stinger and it dies. I don't know if that's true. If that's true, bees are really the most insane creatures on the planet, in a way. Because, like, if you think about it, that would be like me saying, you know what? I'm upset at you. I'm going to stab you with a pushpin, which will kill me. And it's going to cause you a significant discomfort, right? But, I mean, tomorrow you'll have forgotten about it. I will die. I'll die in horrible agony as my abdomen separates into two pieces and I sort of just drag myself away from you. You know, everything fading to black, and I know that, well, I caused you some, I don't know, minor amount of pain. So, I mean, if that's true, that bees die after they sting, then they are a big problem in my eyes, the eyes of my mind. So you need to make sure the bee dies. That's the other thing. I don't know. Probably ice. I'm sure that fixes it. I don't know. Broccoli or something. Basically anything that's difficult to do to your body is probably the best way to solve it. And then do I have any plans about eradicating the bee population or any ideas of how we could do that? I mean, trick flowers would probably work if I understand bees correctly. Maybe we could wipe them out using other, you know, like wasps, I think may invade a beehive and take it over. So if we did that, I mean, the bad news is we'd have wasps everywhere. But on the plus, once the bees were gone, we could say, well, fuck it. Let's get rid of these wasps, too. I mean, we don't need these assholes, right? And now there's no worry that we're going to mistake bees for them because there are no bees. So let's just get rid of anything that's winged and yellow and black striped, okay? Anything that fits that description is gone. So that might be an idea, is to, rather than push down the bee population, sort of cultivate wasps and encourage them to live in beehives and whatnot. And finally, why didn't I bring Watson a pair? So here's what you guys got to know. So Watson is this, basset hound that I watch from time to time. And apparently his owners have a pear tree in the backyard and he can get up on his back legs and jump, which I don't believe because his legs are about, you know, I don't know. Each one of his legs is smaller than a baby's penis. I mean, it's tiny. And I only bring up penis because he's got, you know, these penis infections because he won't stop licking his penis. It's crazy. But anyway, so he'll jump on these little stubs and get pears down from the tree and then just eat them. Which, you know, I don't know. I guess if that was my dog, at first I'd be like, I don't know, can a dog eat a pear? But I guess he's fine. You know, it doesn't harm him. So I was like, oh, I'll bring him a nice pear. And then I didn't. And the reason I didn't was because I didn't even go to the grocery store for myself. So I can't just go just to get him a pear. You know, I could go to a nice Whole Foods, buy him a nice pear, but it's not his birthday or something, right? I don't know. I can just come over and kick that tree for a while until some more pears fall down to his midst. Then he could have all those he wanted. So I hope that answers all your questions. All right, here's another one from Elias. Oh, man, I just lost it. Looked like a good one, too, you guys, from what I could tell by, you know, in my vehicle. Which, if that's, like, totally illegal, then I'm not doing that at all. But, you know, this is a hilarious show where the joke is that I would do something so foolish. Okay, here we go. Dear Snowman, recently I backed into a light pole at work. Ooh, it left a dent in the bumper and broke the glass off my taillight. The light is easy to replace, but I can't seem to get the dent out. I read that if I use a blow dryer to heat up the dent, then place some dry ice there, it will remove the dent. Then sand, spot paint, and buff the area. What method would you recommend so that I can fix it myself? Thanks. Oh, boy. Well, I mean, you're looking for auto repair tips. You've got the right guy. Well, yeah, we've all been there, right? Embarrassingly backed into a pole. When I was in high school, I'll never forget, we were at the school and it was after track practice and I watched this guy get in his dad's car, back out, just floor it, backing up, you know? Like, this is a move that's only done, I think, by people with really cool cars or young dudes where the pedal actually hits the floor in reverse. They may actually at some point find how fast they can go in reverse in their car. And he just smashed directly into a light pole, into a, you know, a concrete bollard or something like that. Completely destroyed the trunk. And you know, I mean, I tried not to laugh at the time, but fucking A, man. He just floored it 10 feet straight into a pole. It was insane, you know? And the whole car was fucked. And you're just watching this, like, I feel so bad for this guy, because, you know, we've all been there. You do a little something to a car, or, I don't know, you fuck something up at the house or whatever, and you feel terrible. But, I mean, what's he going to do? You know, it was just so fucking funny. Anyway, we've all been there is what I'm saying. On some level, we've all tried to do this. I mean, I guess there's a possibility of if you did heat and then dry ice that it might pop the dent out or something like that. Here's what I did when my car got dented. I'll tell this story. So I move into this apartment and everything's cool. And then one morning I come out and there's a huge dent in the side of my car. And I was like, motherfucker. But the person left a note and was like, hey, I hit your car this morning. But, you know, I had to go to work. But here's my phone number. Call me and we can work something out. And I was like, all right, that's fine. Because, you know, how is she going to know whose car it is? It's not like we have an assigned spot. So I call her up and she's like, hey, I hit your car. And I was like, yeah, I noticed. She's like, well, listen, pretty hard up for money right now. Not doing great. How about, I think she said $500. And I was like, I think that sounds fine. Now, I was thinking, maybe I'll get it repaired. Maybe I won't. I don't know. You know, and I didn't know if that would even be enough money to repair it or not. But I figured, what the hell? I can always go see if it's more, so I forget about it. Or if I just want the cash, maybe I'll just take the cash. Maybe I'll just take it as, well, whatever. You know what I mean? So it takes her a while. She sends me a check. Get this check in the mail. I go to the bank to cash it. And then get my bank statement, and it's like, this check was canceled before you cashed it. Which I was like, that's terrible. So then I call the lady back, and she did pick up, and she was like, hi, you know. And I was like, hey, so listen, you canceled your check. And she's like, well, it took you too long to cash it, which it probably took me a week, maybe a week and a half to cash it. Which is, I guess it's a while, but I don't think it's unreasonably long. I mean, let's keep in mind as we go through this story that, you know, this lady backed into my car while I was sleeping. So, there's a guilty party here. I think it's pretty clear who it was. So she's like, you didn't cash it fast enough. And I said, all right, well, what do you want to do? And she's like, well, I heard that you already got your car fixed, you know. And I said, well, it's not fixed. I don't know what you want me to say. I don't know where you heard that from. The tabloids were all saying, Pete's car fixed already. What a record-breaking fixing time attempt. You know, I'm like, well, you didn't hear shit. That's a bullshit lie, you know. She's like, well, I'm not gonna pay you twice. And I'm like, well, you didn't pay me once. She's like, well, you know, all right. I'll send you another check. And I was like, all right then. So I waited and hoping and something. And, you know, nothing came. So then I gave her another call. Number was disconnected. And that was the end of that. You know, I tried looking her up, but she lives in Denver. She mentioned that. I guess her boyfriend lived at these apartments where I live. So, yeah. So what I did to pop out the dent was basically talk to some lady, kind of take her word for it when she tells me, don't worry, I'm not a piece of crap, and, you know, I'll pay you some money and we'll call it good. And then got totally boned on the deal. I don't know if I would suggest this method, but that is my method. So if you're just looking for what I did, I just, you know, trusted a stranger and had that trust horribly violated. And just so anyone knows, if you do hit me with your car, I'll get it, you know, I'll just have to, like, call the cops immediately. I mean, I don't know. Getting hit by cars in the past hasn't been so bad. One time I had this girl I was seeing, like, in high school, and her mom backed into my car. And, man, did she bash the shit out of it, too. I mean, she hit it hard enough it left skid marks on the street, you know, the tires, because they moved about 6 inches to the side, you know. And the mom was pretty nonchalant about the whole thing. I mean, she was going to return some baby clothes or something to Walmart, and she was just like, hey, so I hit your car, you know, we'll go ahead and work it out, and I'm going to go return these baby clothes, and I'll talk to you later. And I go outside, it's all fucked up, but, you know, insurance took care of the whole thing, and then we bought a, you know, my mom got a new dryer out of the deal. Because we ended up taking the car to some guy who was all messed up from paint fumes, but fixed things extra cheap. I don't know if those are related, but either way, it worked out fine for us, for everyone. You know, I got, my mom got a new dryer, my car got fixed, you would never know the difference. And that girl went off to college, and I saw her one more time again, and it was, you know, emotionally scarring. So it worked out great for everyone, is, you know, that's the lesson I learned that time. And then it didn't work out the other time. I don't know. You got a 50-50 shot. I guess if it's me, I'd say trust them, half trust the pole to fix. As far as getting dry ice and a blow dryer, I mean, I don't own either of those items. I don't own a blow dryer. Every time I go to get my hair cut, the guy is like, I'm going to show you how to do your hair real nice, you know? And he's like, here's what you got to do. You want to put the comb in and style it how you wanted. You leave the comb in, hit it with the heat for like 4 count, and then you hit it with the cold for a 4 count. That'll sort of freeze it in place. You know, and he's like, that's why your hair dryer has that cold button, because you go from hot to cold, and that's what locks it in. And the whole time I'm like, ah, yes, that is why my hair dryer has a cold button. Meanwhile, thinking, I don't even own a brush. I don't know. I mean, I haven't used a comb in I don't know when. You know, so I don't know why he's telling me all of this stuff. I guess he's just being thorough. You know, I like this man. I'm not going to start bashing on him, but it is, if he had any idea how I treated my hair the other, you know, if I see him probably 4 times a year, so 361 days of the year, he would shit. He would absolutely shit. He'd probably forbid me from even coming to him, because he'd say, I do all this work on your head, and then this is what you do to it? Go fuck yourself. You're on your own, son. So a hair dryer I don't own. Dry ice is, I got some dry ice once not too long ago, and I think you just have to, you go to like the seafood department at the grocery store, because apparently the only people who are allowed to use dry ice are seafood guys and punch bowls around Halloween, which also, do you remember they would put the dry ice in the punch bowl and it would steam or whatever, but then after it was done, they'd be like, all right, nobody drink the punch. Like it's been poisoned, you know. Is that poison? I mean, it's like carbon dioxide or something. Carbon monoxide? Dioxide? I think it's carbon dioxide that it releases. Which, I mean, does it release it into Kool-Aid or just into the air? I mean, why is it okay to drink it when it's actively bubbling and brewing, and then once it's done, it's like, oh! Now the poison is activated. And if it's that poisonous, maybe not put it in like a kid's party punch bowl. Maybe avoid that as an option of, you know. I don't know. I mean, Halloween's pretty awesome as it is. I don't think you need that, right? You don't need to really enhance Halloween an extra artificial amount. I did have one other quick thing. So I ate dinner at like a dinery type place tonight, and I had breakfast food, you know. Had a dinery type waitress there, and she was calling me hun, you know, she's like, do you need anything else, hon? And I was like, no, thanks. Which normally I don't mind, but I'm 99% sure this waitress was at least 5 to 10 years younger than me. I think we need to come up with sort of a Geneva Convention here about diner waitresses and saying, hun. I think the rule needs to be, you gotta be older than me. Or at least as old as me, but you've led a rough diner waitress life and appear older than me. Hun, I mean, you know, I wouldn't call my dad hun. I mean, there are certain times it's appropriate and certain times it's not appropriate. And as a diner waitress, I appreciate the sort of standoffish chumminess of a diner waitress. You know, I appreciate when they don't make it seem like a big deal to refill your shit. That's the other thing. I was drinking coffee and she was like, came over to the table. She's like, can I get you anything else? Another coffee? And I'm like, yeah, that would be great. But, you know, I'm like, just bring it, top it off. You know, what am I going to do? Be like, no, fuck off. Leave me alone. I had the perfect amount in this cup. Just keep going. Just keep going until all my heart explodes. Just do that, and then, you know, I could probably let go of the hun thing if it's, you know, if those are my two things. Well, guys, I'm almost home. It's about 2 a.m. I got expendabled. Hopefully this is a somewhat of a coherent thing that happened here tonight. I don't know what I was talking about. I think I yawned a lot at the beginning, so I apologize. Hopefully it doesn't leave you with too many yawns. Don't forget to follow me on all this shit. You know, anything that you can think of, / Helpful Snowman. There's also a Tumblr, fuck yeah, Helpful Snowman, that you're, you know, I'd be happy to invite you to post things on there. You just have to send me an email letting me know. So that's a Gmail, helpfulsnowman@gmail.com. Let me know you want to start tumbling. And you can be on there and post, I don't know, whatever the hell you want that you feel is related to this somehow. If I ask a question about Chuck Norris and you want to post a thing about Chuck Norris, that would be the place to do it. It's a nice collaborative space. Can't believe I just used that word. I fucking hate that word. All right. You guys have a good weekend.
Sometimes I think that I could find a way where I won't feel so on my own. I'm not that lonely tonight. I'm not that lonely tonight. I'm not that lonely tonight. I don't know. No, I don't know.